I pray for those who may be among us that are strangers to Your grace, that have never been to Calvary by faith. May this be the hour they lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy and grace and peace and pardon with the Lord. We're grateful that Christ Jesus came this world to save sinners. All that You're pleased to do for us, and through us, and in us, we will be careful to give You the praise. In the name that's above every name, name of our blood-stained Redeemer, we humbly pray. Amen. I spoke to you last evening about Christ and the converted fisherman. I want to speak to you tonight as briefly as I can about Christ and the confused theologian. Now, the phrase born again has often been perverted, and sometimes it's used very carelessly and very loosely. It's a phrase used in the New Testament to describe the birth from above, a supernatural act of God. It is a translation from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. John 1, 12 and 13 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." James 1, 18 declares, "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth." 1 Peter 1, 21 says, "Been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Only the grace of God can make a sinner into a saint. Now, since the deaths of Mother Teresa and Princess Diana, there have been a lot of discussion about sainthood. And there was an effort to have the Pope to cut through all the red tape and make those ladies saints. But the Pope decided not to cut through the red tape and make them wait like everyone else. If I remember correctly, in the Church of Rome, it's necessary that a person be dead for 50 years until they can become or be made a saint. There are three requirements in the Church of Rome that are necessary to qualify for sainthood. First of all, that person must be dead. Many, many Baptists could qualify, but they're talking about physical death. Secondly, that person must have performed a miracle. And thirdly, they must have lived a saintly life from the Roman perspective, from the Roman viewpoint. But all of that is absolute rubbish, absolute garbage. Only God can save a sinner. In these verses in John chapter 3, Nicodemus appears for the first time on the stage of scriptural history. He appears again the second time in John chapter 7. And in that chapter we see his declaration of his attachment to Christ and his defense of his assessment of Christ. The officers, the Pharisees, had sent their officers to arrest Jesus. And when they returned empty-handed without the Savior, they were asked why they had not arrested Jesus, why they had not arrested the Savior. And those officers replied, "Never a man spake like this." Then Nicodemus says to our law, "Condemn a man before it hears him." The third time Nicodemus is seen in scriptural history is again in the book of John, when our Lord had been crucified, and as Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night, brings aloes and myrrh to anoint the body of our Lord. As we think about Christ and this confused theologian, you note the must of the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." George Whitefield, the famous 18th century English evangelist, often preached on the new birth. As a matter of fact, he was barred and forbidden to preach in the Church of England because he preached the new birth. One day someone asked him this question, "Mr. Whitefield, why are you continually preaching on you must be born again?" And Whitefield replied, "Because ye must be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is the need of humanity. Regeneration is the need of every person in this world. People do not need reformation. They need regeneration. Reformation, as someone has said, is putting a new suit on the old man. But regeneration is putting a new man in that old suit. Reformation is whitewashing, but regeneration is washing white. Nicodemus with courage said, Rabbi, Jesus swept away that opening compliment with a statement, I'm sure, that shocked Nicodemus by replying, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus did not need to know about physical miracles. He needed to know about a spiritual miracle, the miracle of the new birth. The necessity of mankind is that they be born again. It is an absolute necessity because man is born in sin. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Man's problem is with his birth. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the spirit gives birth to the spirit. People are born sinners by nature, and there's only one alternative, and that is that every person be born again. The only answer to spiritual death is spiritual life. Now, the environment will not change a man, but a changed man will change his environment. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That means anybody. That means everybody. There are no exceptions. 1 Corinthians 15:50 reminds us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The need of humanity is that they be born again. It's an absolute necessity because man is bound and blinded by sin. So bound in heart, so bound in mind and will, self-righteousness and opinions, that unless God shall break the power of sin, that individual will remain spiritually blind. Now you remember that Jesus was not addressing a bunch of derelicts in some rescue mission, but the man that Jesus spoke these words to was the man who was rich. Jesus ignored that. He was respectable. He was the ruler of the Jews. That meant that he was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the 70, the religious supreme court of the Jewish people. He was religious. He was a Pharisee. That group of set apart ones, orthodox and fundamental as a person could be. And yet Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was spiritually blind. We're reminded in the book of Corinthians that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Have you ever met anybody who sees no need in being faithful to God, and so they're unfaithful? The characteristic expression of a blind person is, I can't see, I can't see. They see no need in tithing, and so they rob the Lord of His tithes and offerings. They see no need in praying, and so they never pray. Their constant expression is, I can't see. And they're exactly right, because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. The things of God remain a mystery and foolishness to that person who is spiritually blind. The need of mankind is to be born again. Here's a religious man, and yet Jesus says to him, you must be born again. I think about B.H. Carroll, one of the great Baptist preachers and theologians of yesteryear. When B.H. Carroll was just a lad, just a small boy, an individual from a local Baptist church, asked him some questions. He gave the right answer. And the man assured him that he was saved. But I remind you that you can give mental assent to the truths of this book and remain a lost sinner. Even the devils believe and tremble. He was brought before the pastor, asked the same questions, gave the correct answers, and he was assured by the pastor that he was saved and he needed to be baptized. But B.H. Cow said if they'd taken the time, if they'd only bothered to take the time, they've discovered that I had not repented of my sins and I did not love Jesus Christ. Because no person can love God apart from salvation. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave Himself for us. We love Him because He first loved us. Later on, B.H. Carroll joined the Confederate Army and fought during the Civil War, the war between the states, and soon after became an infidel. During a Methodist camp meeting after the war was over, attended a certain Methodist camp meeting, B.H. Carroll said, the evangelist said that if you're willing to try Jesus, come forward. But in reality, you don't try Jesus. You refuse His mercy or you receive His mercy. But B.H. Carroll came forward. Everybody went to rejoicing and shouting. But B.H. Carroll said, wait a minute! I didn't get anything. I'm not saved. And made a fool out of the whole crowd. He came back on Sunday night, the last night of the meeting. The preacher had already preached. A group of godly women sitting on the platform were singing, O Land of Rest for the Eyesight. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell at peace at home with God? And B.H. Carroll said, for the first time in my life, conviction gripped my heart. And I saw myself for the black sinner that I was and cried to God for mercy. He went home that night. His adopted brother met him at the door and said, B.H., God saved you tonight. That was the glow. That was the radiance on His face. And he said about that time his semi-invalid mother came out of the bedroom, saw the glow on his face and said, oh, B.H., God saved you tonight, didn't He? And he said, yes, mother, God saved me. B.H. Carroll said, I had a copy of old John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And he said, that night I laid in the floor and read through Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress while my old mother laid in the bed and shouted and clapped her hands and praised God till she nearly passed out. I want to tell you that when God saves a sinner, a divine change occurs. Here's a man who is religious, who is respectable, but Jesus says to him, you must be born again. It is the necessity of humanity. The nature of heaven also requires that you be born again. Our sinful nature must be changed to qualify us for heaven. Before you can go to heaven, heaven must get in you. Peter says that we have been made partakers of the divine nature of God. Now the natural man could never fit into heaven in his natural sinful condition. As a matter of fact, it would almost be hell to go to heaven without a heart for God. I mean, if the things of God are so boring, and if they're so dreadful, wouldn't it be an awful thing to get shut up with a bunch in heaven, and all they're going to do is worship and serve God? Every time you read in the book of the Revelation, they're either getting down on their knees to worship, or they're getting up off of their knees from worship. Heaven will be one eternal worship. Heaven is a holy place. One eternal day of worship and service to God. God's people, those that have experienced the new birth, have an affinity. They have an attachment to the people of God. I remember several years ago, late one night about midnight, leaving Houston, Texas from a meeting. I was the only person sitting at the waiting area, down at the gate, waiting for the plane. And all of a sudden, about 50 or 60 people showed up. And they were carrying a large sign. that said, "Welcome home, such and such family." Evidently a missionary family arriving on that flight. Finally the plane arrived. And when that particular family got off, those people began to rejoice, hugged one another, wept over one another, shook hands with one another. At least 50 or 60 of them. I didn't know one of them from Adam. But I shook hands with them and hugged the men's necks and said, "God bless you." I didn't know one of them, but we're in the same family, the same household of faith. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. There is a special attachment and affinity to the people of God. What a terrible thing it would be to go to heaven without a heart for God. The very nature of heaven demands that you be born again. What a terrible thing to be in heaven without a heart for God and possessing the very nature of God. There is the mystery of the new birth. Mysterious lack of birth. Now Jesus immediately got the attention of Nicodemus when he said these words, "Ye must be born again." No doubt Nicodemus was an old man. Nicodemus was saying, "How can I start all over again?" I think that Nicodemus was thrilled at the prospect of beginning life anew. He asked, "Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" But this change would not take place if a man could return to his mother's womb and be born 100 times over. His problem would still remain. A sinner's need is not another birth, but a new birth. A birth from above. It is not the reformation of the old life that the sinner needs, but the formation of a new life. A miracle that only God can perform. Nicodemus was puzzled about the mystery of the new birth. And there is a divine mystery to the new birth. Charles Spurgeon said of the new birth of salvation that it is done in a moment, but it will be wondered at throughout eternity. And the song of the ages will be our praise and gratitude to God for His salvation. Many things that I don't understand, but I still enjoy the blessings of them and the benefits of them. I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk. I don't understand why it is that there happens to be just enough news every day to fill every newspaper in the world. There's a lot of mysteries that I don't understand, but I enjoy the blessings of them. The new birth is mysterious lack of birth. Jesus taught that He came to bring life and to bring life more abundantly. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Birth brings life. When birth takes place into this world, then life begins in this world, on this planet. Golf balls don't have life because they're manufactured. They don't have life because they've never experienced birth. Spiritual birth brings new life. A medical birth is heavily involved with water, and so is the new birth. It is accomplished by the divine Word of God through the work of the blessed Holy Ghost. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Birth cannot be repeated. Jesus said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." The verdict of justification cannot be rescinded. What God does, He does forever. As I've often said, and I'm sure I've said it here, the only way that the devil could ever get to a child of God would be to go through the Father, through the Son, and through the Holy Ghost. But I tell you, if he did that, by the time he got to me, he wouldn't want me anymore, because it'd be the same devil. What God does, He does forever. His life is eternal. Birth is a definite experience. There is a definite moment when birth occurs. There's preparation, but there is a specific time of quickening. Just as you were born in this world physically, there was a time when you were born in the kingdom of God by the experience of the new birth. I may go crazy as a bed bug, but I don't think I'll ever forget that night when God in mercy put His pure grace in my heart, when I experienced the new birth. I remember as a 9-year-old boy going to the elementary school that I attended. And I wouldn't have done it for anything. But God saved me the night before. Now I want to tell a little boy in my room in the 3rd grade that God saved me. But all I could do was stand and look at him and start crying. And then he went to crying. And we stood and looked at each other and cried, and both of us wept. But I said to myself that moment, if it's all that good to tell it, I'll tell it everywhere I go. And I want to say that all these years later, 40 years later, I'm still not tired of hearing and telling the old, old story. After all, it will be my theme in glory. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. There is a definite time when a person experiences the new birth. Birth is a definite experience. Birth involves pain. Our first birth brought development. But it brought deterioration as well. It was corruptible. The second birth, the new birth, brought development, but it will bring glorification. The inner man is being renewed. The outward man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. The birth is mysterious. The new birth is mysterious, like a breeze. Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now there's nothing that a dead man can do to bring life flowing into his corpse. God alone can bring about the spiritual birth. And when he does it, his own nature is reproduced. The Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. The same Holy Ghost that brooded over primeval chaos and brought about the beauty of creation was the same Holy Ghost that came upon the Virgin Mary and produced Jesus and brought forth deity. It was that same Holy Ghost that brooded over my soul, over my heart, and brought conviction that led to faith and repentance. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? He's no longer doubting the possibility of the new birth, but the method of it. Jesus said, art thou a teacher in Israel, and knowest not these things? He was a theologian who needed salvation. John Wesley came to Georgia and tried to get the Indians saved. But about all he did was make people mad. As a matter of fact, 2 women got at him with a butcher knife. But when Wesley got back to London, John Wesley got saved and was mightily used of God. No man can control life from above any more than you can control the breezes that blows through the trees. The Spirit is sovereign, and to refuse Him may cause you to lose your soul forever. Nobody can make God work. No, on the other hand, nobody can stop God. The Spirit of God's like the wind. You might protect yourself from it, but you cannot stop it. You can see the results of the wind. You can't actually see the wind, but you see the results of the wind. I've heard all my life that hogs can see the wind. I don't know about that. I've never just really talked to one about it. But I do know this. You can see the results of the wind. And you can see the results of the new birth in an individual's life. A divine change will occur when a person is born into God's kingdom. The miracle of the new birth. Nicodemus asked, how can these things be? The new birth, the miracle of the new birth is made possible by the Savior. And it is made personal by the sinner. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Salvation is possible because Jesus came into this world. It was on planet Earth that He came and poured out His soul unto death. It was on this planet that He was numbered with the transgressors, that He bare the sin of many and maketh intercession for the transgressor. It is on planet Earth that He opened up a fountain of blood. It was on this planet that the veil was torn, rent from top to bottom, and our Lord opened up an interstate highway to God. And every sin that will may plunge beneath that flow and lose all their guilty stains. Now Jesus used the illustration of the Israelites when they'd been bitten by fire serpents in the wilderness. And in obedience to the command of God, Moses placed the brazen serpent on a pole. And every Israelite that looked to that brazen serpent lived. Now the Israelite camp wasn't a little boy scout camp. It's estimated that at least 2 million men alone marched out of Egypt on the night of the Passover. And that camp extended for a long distance, maybe several miles. But it made no difference if an Israelite was standing directly below that brazen serpent. If he looked, he lived. If that Israelite was standing 2 miles on the other end of the camp, if he looked in the direction of the brazen serpent, he lived. Isaiah said, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, there is none else. The hymn writer Charlotte Elliott was right when she penned those words, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. That's all you can do is come just as you are. Stack your arms of rebellion and find mercy with the Lord. Come as a poor, helpless sinner and cast yourself on the mercy of God. Every sin that looks to Him shall live. The new birth is possible because of Calvary. It's made personal by the sinner. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm glad He didn't put my name there. I'm glad it says just what it says. As I probably told you, I found out some years ago, there was another man in my county, the county that I live in, whose name was Larry Winkler. I was going to Texas for a meeting, and one day I received a call, and the individual on the other end of the line said, hello, this is Larry Winkler. I thought that was strange because I'm Larry Winkler. And he said, I've got a letter and an airline ticket in it from such and such a Baptist church in Texas. And there's something in it about preaching a revival meeting. And he said, I don't even go to church, let alone know anything about preaching revival. And I thought he was going to cuss about it. He got my letter by mistake. Found out shortly after that, another man in the adjoining county, a Baptist preacher, named Larry Winkler. I was in Ohio, met a man named Larry Winkler. I was preaching in Western Kentucky, and a man came up to me after the service. And he said, I heard on the radio today that Larry Winkler was preaching here this week. I went to school with Larry Winkler, and I've driven 100 miles one way to hear Larry Winkler. But you're not him. Just recently started to check into a motel for a meeting in a certain city. I asked if they had reservations for Larry Winkler for such and such a Baptist church. And the receptionist said, oh yes, he checked in about 2 hours ago. I like to never convince her that I was really Larry Winkler. Just last week, someone was telling me they were in Boone, North Carolina, 30 miles from where I live. And there's a road named after me, Larry Winkler Drive. So I know that there are at least 5 or 6 other men named Larry Winkler. And sure enough, if God's book had said that if Larry Winkler believed, he would have it up to provide the new birth. And the guilty sinner must look up to experience it. The only requirement to enter heaven is that you obey the scriptural command, ye must be born again. One of the great events of my life on several occasions has been to visit the grave of John Newton in Old England. And on the monument on the tombstone of John Newton are written these words, John Newton, once an infidel, a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. No wonder John Newton wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see.